Good evening, everyone. Welcome to this evening's service at Christchurch Bulldog. Oh dear, excuse me. I'm using a new microphone, which means that either the audio quality will be much better or you won't be able to hear me at all. So please keep me posted on the live chat. Good to see Keith and Vi, welcome, and Phil and Ruth, and there's Malcolm, and that's all we've got so far. They must be watching on about 20 screens each. You can hear, thank you, Phil. I appreciate that. Welcome to you all. Thank you for joining us. We'll just wait while others sign in. Feel free to put something in the live chat and say hello. Hi, Christine. Good to see you. I say that. I can't see you, I'm afraid. But I can see you're there. Hi. Is that Maria, I'm guessing? Good evening. We'll just wait a few minutes for others to join us. I'm glad you can hear me. Next week, we're doing something a bit special for Easter. Hi, Chris Banks. Chris, I remember you were the first person to put something on the comments when we first went live on YouTube. Excellent. Hi, Jonathan. Hi, Ina. Good to see you both. Great. Good. Well, we're meeting up virtually to praise the Lord and to hear from his word. Do keep putting messages on the live chat. I'll try and keep an eye on it as we go and say hello to people. It's really good that we can meet together, even though we're separated geographically. I'm going to start by reading Psalm 93. I used to have one of the verses of this in my surfing van when I was in Guernsey. Verse 4 says, "Mightier than the thunder of great waters, mightier than the breakers of the sea, the Lord on high is mighty." That was a good reminder when I was out in Force 11 winds once and in fear of my life, but it was good fun. We're here to praise the Lord. Psalm 93. "The Lord reigns. He is robed in majesty. The Lord is robed in majesty and armed with strength. Indeed, the world is established, firm and secure. Your throne was established long ago. You are from all eternity. The seas have lifted up, Lord. The seas have lifted up their voice. The seas have lifted up their pounding waves. Mightier than the thunder of the great waters, mightier than the breakers of the sea, the Lord on high is mighty. Your statutes, Lord, stand firm. Holiness adorns your house for endless days." What a remarkable psalm. So many attributes of God listed in there. It really inspires a sense of awe, I think. Welcome to the Palmers. Thanks for commenting on the chat there. I'm going to pray. I'm going to begin with prayers of praise based on that psalm we've just read. And then I'll be praying for, as well as the current situation, of course, Naomi Hollins, one of the missionaries that the church supports. Naomi works for UCCF, the Christian Unions. She's based in the University of Bedfordshire in Luton. And she says that Luton CU is not a typical CU. She has challenges there. One of the challenges is that all of the CU, as far as I'm aware, are moving on at the end of this year. They're all in their final year or they're postgraduates. So she's got the added challenge of having to recruit from scratch, really, I understand. And of course, they're finding the situation at the moment very difficult. I understand that all UCCF staff workers have been put on furlough for 2 months because the universities have closed. And so she will be spending that time resting, recuperating, and also catching up on studying and just thinking about how she can take the work forwards when they resume in a couple of months' time. So a lot to pray for there. That's one of our missionary partners, Naomi Hollins. Welcome, Patrick. Welcome, Becca. So let me pray, and then we'll look at God's word together. Father in heaven, you are from all eternity. There is no one like you. Father, we exist just for a very short time, and we've been brought face to face with our transience in this current situation. But Lord, you are forever, and we thank you that we trust in a God who never changes. Thank you, Father, that before the earth was created, you were the same. Today, you are the same, and you will forever be the same. And because of that, we know that you are faithful. Father, we praise you that you are strong. We think of the waves metaphorically lifting up their voice to praise you. We think of the might of the oceans. And we thank you, Father, that you created them all. You created the mountains, the planets, the stars. Father, there is nothing that is outside of your control and nothing that is beyond your power. You are great and mighty. Father, your statutes stand firm. What you have declared stands forever so that people may fear you, we read in Ecclesiastes. Lord, thank you that we can depend upon you remaining the same. Thank you that you are good. Thank you that you are just. Father, we praise you. And holiness adorns your house for endless days. Lord, we're reminded in another psalm that we should worship you, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness, in the splendor of holiness. Father, we thank you that your holiness sets you apart from the rest of your creation, from everything in your creation. Father, you are completely above and beyond all things. You are unique. And Father, you are morally holy. Lord, we come before you as people who cannot say that we are even good, let alone holy. And yet you have loved us, and you have provided a way for us to be in your presence forever. And so we thank you and we praise you. Father, we turn now to pray for the current situation. Lord, we lift up to you this country and the government. We thank you that the Queen will be addressing the nation later. We pray that you would have given her wisdom as she prepares that. Father, thank you that we have a government that has invested itself in the well-being of its people. And we thank you for the precautions that have been taken. We pray for continued wisdom for the government. And we pray, Lord, for those countries who are suffering, where the infrastructure is not what it is here, and where resources are few. Father, may your people be a shining light in those places, caring for those who are unwell. Father, we pray for your mercy to rest on those countries. And may you look at them in their difficult situation and rescue them. We pray, Lord, for a quick end to this global pandemic. Father, we thank you for the technology that's allowed us to meet tonight and allowed churches all through the UK to meet together virtually. And Father, we pray that you would bless those services. May they have far-reaching effects. And Lord, please may your people not lose that sense of being together as the body of Christ. Lord, we lift up to you Naomi in the situation she's in with UCCF closing down for 2 months. Father, may these 2 months be restful for her and enjoyable. And also, Lord, may she have opportunity to think about the work that she's doing in Bedfordshire University. May she have an opportunity to study your word. And may it generally be a time of great refreshment so that when she returns to work, she is ready to take on new challenges that will present themselves when the universities are back. We think of the particular problem that a lot of the CU members are moving on at the end of the year, if not all of them. Father, please provide a core group of people to be in that CU. And may it be a strong and flourishing place where your word goes out to that university. Finally, Lord God, we commit our lives into your hands, thanking you that you are in control. Father, as the future is uncertain, we pray that you would keep us close to Christ, and may the temporary uncertainty, perhaps, that we're experiencing now, remind us that we are always waiting for Christ to return, and we do not know when that will be. And so, Lord, may we learn from it, may we walk more closely with you, and may we value each other even more in this time when we can't meet together. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Welcome to those who have just joined. I've seen Jenny's just put evening. Hi, Jenny. We're going to turn to God's word in just a moment. And I've given my sermon for this evening the title, You Can't Do This Alone. And I want to talk about loneliness. Loneliness is something that we all experience from time to time. And if it's left unchecked, it can lead to stress, anxiety, and even depression. And of course, loneliness is a bigger problem than ever before, now that we're all in lockdown and not allowed to talk to each other face to face. A couple of weeks ago, an article on the BBC said this: loneliness is a global problem, which scientists believe can be as bad for your health as smoking 15 cigarettes a day or being severely overweight. Young people, as well as the elderly, are at risk. And there are concerns that coronavirus-related lockdowns in cities around the world and self-isolation guidelines for those older than 70 will exacerbate the problem. Now, you probably have mixed feelings if I told you that the title of that article was, Can Artificial Intelligence Fight Elderly Loneliness? And it was talking about using the Google Home product, the smart speaker, in the homes of elderly people to keep them company. They'd be talking to a robot. Well, that's a conversation for another time, and I'm sure there's good and bad in there. And technology has certainly reduced our sense of isolation during this pandemic, because I can talk to you online and we can talk to each other. And in fact, actually, there was thought of doing a Zoom call after this service. And I'm not sure if I'll be able to set that up, but if somebody would like to set that up, then just put the meeting ID and the password in the live chat, and maybe some people will be able to join you afterwards. So technology has done a great deal of good easing loneliness, but it doesn't take much imagination to know that it's also caused a lot of loneliness. Those of you who are social media users will know that perhaps you've experienced that pang of loneliness when you log onto Facebook and see a picture of all of your friends out somewhere and you're not with them. So good and bad. But the Bible has a lot to say about loneliness. And in the part we'll be looking at this evening, the Apostle Paul finds himself in a very lonely place. And we can learn a lot from what he says in that situation. So turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 9 to 22. I'll give you a moment to find that. To Timothy chapter 4, I'll begin reading at verse 9 and read to the end of the letter. Paul says to Timothy, "Do your best to come to me quickly, for Demas, because he loved this world, has deserted me and has gone to Thessalonica. Crescens has gone to Galatia and Titus to Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you, because he is helpful to me in my ministry. I sent Tychicus to Ephesus. When you come, bring the cloak that I left with Carpus at Troas and my scrolls, especially the parchments. Alexander the metalworker did me a great deal of harm. The Lord will repay him for what he has done. You too should be on your guard against him, because he strongly opposed our message. At my first defense, no one came to my support, but everyone deserted me. May it not be held against them. But the Lord stood at my side and gave me strength, so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed, and all the Gentiles might hear it. And I was delivered from the lion's mouth. The Lord will rescue me from every evil attack and will bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen. Greet Priscilla and Aquila and the household of Onesiphorus." That's Mr. O, if you were listening to my sermon a few weeks ago. He comes up again. "Erastus stayed in Corinth, and I left Trophimus ill in Miletus. Do your best to get here before winter. Eubulus greets you, and so do Pudens, Linus, Claudia, and all the brothers and sisters. The Lord be with your spirit. Grace be with you all. I want to show you, first of all, that the Bible understands loneliness. Now, I've just read a long list of names, a bit of a tongue twister, but all of these names, except one, have something in common. And if I tell you that that one exception is Luke in verse 11, can you work out what all the rest have in common? Feel free to put something in the live chat if you like. Luke is the exception. All the other names have something in common. This might be a bit, you need quick fingers. Yeah, thank you. Yeah, both good thoughts. Actually, that's a very good point, John. They probably are Gentiles, but so was Luke. But Becca's got it there. They're not with Paul. And Phil says only Luke is with him. Spot on. So the thing that all of these names have in common is that they're miles away from Paul, possibly with the exception of Alexander as well as Luke. Don't know where he was. Now, when I was studying for this, I drew myself a little map. It took about 5 minutes. And I could see where everyone went. So we've got Crescens has gone to Galatia over here. I sent Tychicus to Ephesus just here, which is probably where Timothy was as well. I left Trophimus ill in Miletus. Miletus is here. And Paul is all the way over here in Rome. And there's no Zoom. So Paul is missing his friends. It's always good to do a little map or use the map in the back of your Bibles when you're reading bits like this. I find it really brings it to life. So Paul's missing his friends, and I imagine that there's a few of us in that situation now. I know a lot of students have had to leave school at 24 hours notice, and they may never be studying with the same group again if they're moving schools or going to university. Some of you have children who have grown up and moved away, and you know what it feels like for them to be separated from you. I know that might be the case that they're in a different country. And of course, Paul here is in a foreign country. He knows that sense of isolation that it brings. But Paul also understands loneliness that comes from a sense of hurt and abandonment. Verse 10, Demas, because he loved this world, has deserted me and has gone to Thessalonica. In other words, he wasn't having much fun hanging around Paul, and the grass was greener on the other side. So off he went. Paul is a victim of Demas's selfishness. And I imagine there are some people watching this who have been similarly hurt and left feeling lonely by that sort of situation. Maybe it was a friend, could be a boy or girlfriend that deserted, or I mean, very likely in today's world, it could be perhaps a former husband or wife. Paul understood the pain of that situation. The Bible understands loneliness. It understands that we have many needs. Paul says to Timothy in verse 13, "When you come, bring the cloak that I left with Carpus at Troas, and my scrolls, especially the parchments." And someone said, "When our spirit is lonely, we need friends. When our body is cold, we need clothing. When our mind is bored, we need books or a football." But he doesn't say that. To admit this is not unspiritual, it's human. Loneliness doesn't mean that you're a bad Christian. It means that you're human. And God understands that. Now, there are two practical things about loneliness that we can learn from this passage. I was encouraged, actually, by the way that Paul responds to his lonely situation. It's not something that's out of our reach. He doesn't say, I'm going to resign myself to a life of isolation with just my Bible, and I'm going to pray for 7 hours a day. That might seem appealing, but it's a bit out of reach. He doesn't do that. Instead, he gives us two very practical things. And firstly, he made the first move. He says to his friend Timothy, do your best to come to me quickly. And he says it again in verse 21, do your best to get here before winter. Earlier in the letter, Paul said to Timothy, I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. Now, Paul is quite a fiery character in the New Testament. And for him to say that shows quite a lot of sensitivity. It's quite a sensitive thing to say. We all need friends. And if they feel far away, we need to make the first move and reach out to them. Just send them a text. Hi, how are you getting on? And I say that because God thinks that having friends is a big deal. I had to do a talk, a youth talk once on friendship, and I looked for the right verse that could sort of summarize it well, and I prayed about it for a long time. And in the end, I went to John 15, and this is a short part of a much longer talk. But I want to share with you one thing that stood out to me when I was studying that chapter. Jesus says this, famous words, greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. And one thing I talked about in that youth talk was the little surprise in that verse. And it's particularly a surprise for young people, I think. And that is that the greatest love this world has to offer is not romance, and it's not found within a context of marriage. It's found within the context of friendship. And that's something that everyone can have. I think that's really wonderful. Friendship to God is a really big deal. And as I say, that's just part of a much longer talk, and it wasn't the main point, but it's something that stood out to me. God wants you to reach out to your friends and to be a friend. Secondly, age didn't matter. And I say that because Paul was a much older man and Timothy was a younger man. And there was a deep friendship there. And church is a great place to foster those friendships. Now, I know that there's a certain amount of suspicion, particularly in the outside world, between friendship, in friendships between particularly an older man and a younger person. And that is for good reason, really. There have been some horrible abuses in the recent past. But I'm not suggesting anything untoward, as you know. And I'm not suggesting that we flout very proper safeguarding principles. But what I'm saying is this. As a church, let's set an example to people outside the church of just how amazing friendships between generations can be. The more I learn about my late granddads, the more I wish that I got to know them before they died. Even as a teenager, I was sitting in my parents' house listening to some music. It was big band jazz, as it happens. And my mum said to me, oh, my dad would have loved to have listened to that music with you. And it's too late now. He died before that. There are things about my dad's dad that I only found out at his funeral. He built motorbikes and sailing boats and a pipe organ. And I wish I'd had the opportunity to speak to him about that. But I didn't. And now it's gone. So in the next few weeks, keep in touch with people of all ages in the church. And young people, don't feel afraid to pick up the phone to somebody who's a bit older in the church and have a chat with them. And older people in the church, make it easy for young people to do that and tell them about your life and ask them about theirs. Let's keep building these friendships. But of course, as you all know, the Bible is much more than just a practical guide to life. Yes, the Bible understands loneliness. Yes, the Bible shows some ways to get out of loneliness. But loneliness is like a scuff mark on a wall that's about to be repainted. It's just one of the many blemishes in life that God is in the presence of transforming. This captivates Paul, even when he's feeling lonely and deserted. Because right at the heart of this letter is Paul's concern about one thing, and that is the message of Jesus Christ, or the gospel. Verse 16. At my first offence, no one came to my support, but everyone deserted me. May it not be held against them. But the Lord stood at my side and gave me strength, so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed and all the Gentiles might hear it. This is something Paul wanted the whole world to hear. And the way in which he talks about it in the rest of his letter gives a suggestion as to why that might be. He calls it the promise of life that is in Jesus Christ. And he talks about our Savior, Christ Jesus, who has destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Imagine the excitement if we were presented with a 100-year-old who looked exactly like a 25-year-old because of some medical advance. I don't think people would stop talking about that. And Paul here is talking about something much better. He can't stop talking about eternal life in Jesus Christ. And not only that, but a place in a new kingdom. If we died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness. And so in the text we're looking at this evening, he says, the Lord will rescue me from every evil attack and will bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom. Loneliness and all of our struggles are a bit like sitting in an uncomfortable chair just before an audience with the Queen. We're aware of the discomfort, but it pales into insignificance compared with the meeting that we're about to experience. And for Paul, this sense of isolation and desertion that he's experiencing pales into insignificance when he compares it to the kingdom that he is part of. I'm sure you've also noticed that the king himself stands with Paul and gives him strength. Paul's on trial in Rome, probably in front of the Emperor Nero, under whose rule he would eventually lose his life. And he says, at my first defense, no one came to my support, but everyone deserted me. May it not be held against them. But the Lord stood at my side and gave me strength. This morning, Bernie was talking about sharing our faith. And sometimes that can feel like a lonely place. There was a time when I was on the tube in London, and it was pretty crowded. And the silence of the crowd on the tube was broken by my friend asking me a question. And I can't remember what the question was. But what I remember is that to answer it required talking about Jesus in front of 20 or 30 people, 20 or 30 silent critics on the tube. And I have to admit, that felt like a lonely place. But it was in that sort of situation, being put on the spot, that Paul said, the Lord stood at my side and gave me strength. We can't do this alone. We need the King standing at our side and giving us strength. I want to finish now with a final thought. This week is the lead up to Good Friday and Easter. And as we prepare for that, I want us to remember that the King himself experienced isolation. Jesus knew what it felt to be lonely. In Gethsemane, his friends fled. While he was being accused and tortured, his best friend was standing outside, denying that he even knew the man. And finally, when he died on the cross, his own father forsook him, and Christ cried out in agony. But he did this so that he could be our king and friend who never leaves us, and to give us hope of a future kingdom where all suffering will be forgotten. I'm going to close by reading the words of an old hymn from the 1800s. And maybe someone artistic out there can make this a bit more modern. You can modernize it and put it to modern music. Here are the words. O Jesus, friend unfailing, how dear you are to me. Are cares or fears assailing? I find my strength in thee. Why should my feet grow weary on this my pilgrim way? Rough though the path and dreary, it ends in perfect day. Let me pray as we close. Father in heaven, we thank you that you remember that we are human, you remember that we are dust, as your word says. You know that we have very practical needs. And one of those is the need to be with other people, something that we've been denied at the moment. Father, please be with us in our loneliness. And Father, we pray that the loneliness Christ experienced in Gethsemane would really hit home in our hearts this week. And may it make the celebration of Easter all the more powerful as we remember that Christ died and rose again to be our friend and King. And to bring you into, to bring us into your kingdom. Amen. Well, thank you for joining us this evening. I hope that it's been helpful. And if somebody would like to set up a Zoom call for a chat afterwards, then do put the details on the chat, on the live chat. I'm just seeing if anyone has. Perhaps not yet. I'll keep the live stream going for just a little bit longer so that we've got the chat. And then hopefully someone will be able to set up a Zoom call. As we do, what I quite like to do is read that psalm again, that I read before. I think it's a powerful psalm. And if we remember that Christ himself is this mighty God that it's talking about, and that he was the one who experienced loneliness for us, then it really comes home. The Lord reigns. He is robed in majesty. The Lord is robed in majesty and armed with strength. Indeed, the world is established, firm and secure. Your throne was established long ago. You are from all eternity. The seas have lifted up, Lord. The seas have lifted up their voice. The seas have lifted up their pounding waves. Mightier than the thunder of great waters, mightier than the breakers of the sea, the Lord on high is mighty. Your statutes, Lord, stand firm. Holiness adorns your house for endless days. Well, it doesn't look like a Zoom call is being set up. I'm sorry about that. But if you'd like to, do feel free to give someone in the congregation a call. And next week, what we'll do is perhaps look into getting one set up centrally so that you can all join in. I hope you all have a very good week, and keep in touch with each other, as I said. See you again next week.